Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
WEEI Afternoons, first day of spring, and a man with a spring in his step, Ted Johnson.
Hey.
What's up?
How are you guys?
It's good,
Ted.
To see you.
What's up, buddy?
Do I need to be worried about a gray shirt?
No, you do not.
Okay, that doesn't imply like you're in a gray mood.
Oh, no, definitely not. No,
you're gonna dive across.
He's in a business mood. You had a busy morning this morning.
It says, Thank you.
I was talking to the North Shores Chamber of Commerce this morning.
Oh.
About a little brag.
Kicking ass?
About just my life's journey, where it went there for a little bit, and where I am now, and how I got here, that kind of stuff.
Was it a catered event?
It was very much catered. Oh. The buffet had a buffet line. I just missed the buffets.
God, they didn't even give you a to-go container, like one of those nice clamshells you could throw a couple tips in?
They would have if I wanted to, but it was just fun to go down the buffet line. I haven't been down one in forever.
Absolutely.
You get to go back twice. Absolutely. If you want.
And you can get whatever you want, and if you don't like it, you don't eat it. Eat the other thing on your plate.
It's amazing.
How does anyone not make room for Ted Johnson in a buffet line?
You skip the salad, right? That just takes up room on the plate.
Exactly. Totally.
You guys.
Two awakened 180 guys that get it.
I was a little disappointed.
Salad
they
takes
didn't
up
really
room
have
the
a dessert
plate.
Kind of buffet, you know, like the ice cream buffet
or like
cookie
those little
buffet.
Variety of pastries
but nonetheless, the folks at North Shore Chamber of Commerce were awesome, and we had a great presentation. So I'm repping my team, my company that I'm a spokesperson for.
And before we move on to 3 point, did you nail it?
Crushed it.
Yeah,
nice.
Stuck it.
Nice.
Do you actually walk off those and sometimes go, that wasn't my best one?
I just kind of all the time.
But
all
this was a drop the mic one.
This one was. I got a lot of laughs. I got a lot of applaud.
Nice job.
So very.
Nobody got hurt.
No one got hurt. No one got hurt, bud.
That's good.
Yep.
All right. You know what time it is? It's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. 3 point stance time.
3 point stance time.
319.
319.
319.
Yeah. There we go.
It's the 3 point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Hey, Dan, before you get going, I gotta just say, my favorite part of that is Tua going, yeah, here we go.
That's Dak.
Oh, is that Dak?
That's
that
Dak.
Dak. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that spawned a whole social wave media
here we go.
Of people just using the Dak Prescott line in real life.
Okay, here we go.
It's awesome.
It's hilarious.
Some would say it's the best part of his game right now.
Oh, that's true. That's very, very
everything
true.
After that cadence kind of goes downhill.
Questionable.
It does.
Some would argue. But this is the 3 point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Before we continue, this hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% on a brand new metal roofing system during their Spring Into Savings event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details. Okay, three hosts. Three takes on the three biggest stories of the day, or whatever they're hot on today. Mm. Our order, as always, is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Each host gets 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening take on whatever they're hot on, and then we open it up for discussion at the table. Andy Hart, are you ready today?
Born ready.
Born ready? All right. Well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
So I've been ranting and raving a bit about Drake May already in the show, and that's where I'm going to continue to go here, because something has been bothering me in this whole idea of Tom Curran saying they want to surround Drake May with good guys and they want the perfect huddle. The other 10 guys are like St. Bregmans, a whole team of St. Bregmans around him. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me because, A, I believe he can handle more than that. But more importantly, I think it's coming at a cost of talent. Talent around Drake May. I believe Drake May can overcome a bad culture apple here or there. Maybe a receiver who's a bit of a dink. You know what I think he's going to have trouble overcoming? Not having talent around him in said huddle. And they are still very much lacking in playmakers and a left tackle. Mm. So the question keeps popping into my head. What's more irresponsible? Mm. What's worse for Drake May and the Patriots? Surrounding him with bad culture guys or failing to surround him with the type of talent that a quarterback needs to succeed at the NFL level. I think the second thing is worse because I have a lot of confidence in Drake May's ability to lead and overcome and mold other players and take them in the right direction. What I don't have confidence in, if he throws the ball, as was famously said, he cannot catch it too. He needs playmakers around him. Okay. Don't worry about the culture. Get some talent.
I hope you come back to this, Dan, because I got a new thought and theory on this very topic kind of percolating that mind getting out. So
okay, I'll put a little star next to it. We'll remember that one. All right, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, your time is now. Are you ready?
Oh, I suppose.
Well, I hope you suppose, because your time starts right now.
And I suppose that right now I am staring at this nifty website, MLB.com, MLB.com. You guys ever been there before? Tremendously informative. It's no WEEI.com, but it's an excellent site if you like baseball. And right alongside the banner of the top headlines of the day, story and position battles for the 2025 spring training in Boston highlighted. Marcelo Mayer already lining up to start at second base for Red Sox? Quote, I'm always ready for anything. Gentlemen, we have been debating and wondering aloud for weeks now on end in this on this improved Red Sox roster, a team that many think can compete for the AL East title. Hell, Ted, they may be able to give a run at the entire AL thing entirely and then lose in five to the Dodgers, which would be awesome. But we've been talking about who's going to win the second base battle. Well, they want Christian Campbell to win it, Andy, because isn't he the second coming of Barry Bonds, or so we've been told?
Indeed.
How about...
I thought it was Vaughn Grissom, no?
Vaughn Grissom, what happened to him?
He got sent down.
Yeah, he got sent down once again.
David Hamilton?
Huh. Nope. David Hamilton looks like he could maybe make the roster because he proved his size and everything. Guys, we may be sleeping on the shortstop of the future playing second base. Marcelo Mayer may have been the answer all along, almost hitting 400 this spring. He's so ready to go. I need one of the kids on the roster. I want Marcelo Mayer's talents on the opening day roster.
It's a cup filleth over with all these problems.
I'm telling you guys, we have been sleeping on this. He's making the roster.
You've been sleeping during shows?
Yes. You didn't notice? No, it's probably during one of the many sermons you deliver.
Okay. So we have Drake May needs some good players, and Marcelo Mayer, we've been sleeping on him in spring training. Ted Johnson, last but certainly not least, are you ready?
Let's go, bud.
All right, well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so this is a lot of rules that are being presented. Change of the rules in football. This is what's been talking about. A lot of talk around the tush push. The Packers' proposed rule change is that it would prohibit an offensive player from immediately pushing a teammate who was lined up directly behind the snapper as they receive the snap. Effectively, this would ban the tush push. You guys know how I feel about that. Mm. I know how you guys feel about that. But just to kind of succinctly put it into perspective, I'm going to let the flight attendants of Total Bastards Airline of SNL tell you exactly what I think of the tush push.
Bye-bye. Hey, you live here in Pittsburgh?
No, actually, I'm here.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me, could you tell
me... Bye-bye. I'm sorry, what? What part didn't you understand? The buh or the bye?
Bye-bye. What part don't you understand? The buh or the bye? Bye-bye, tush push. This needs to go. I'm tired of the tush push. Please, if they allow the defense to push defensive linemen into the offensive linemen while the offensive linemen are being pushed by the quarterback and the running backs, then I would say it's a fair play. It is not a fair play, and thus should not be allowed, and thus needs to go. Get on out. I don't like the Packers propose this because they got beat by the Eagles. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter. This is not a football play, and they need to get rid of it, man. It's just, come on, guys.
More like the losers, not the Packers.
Oh, okay. You wanna run with that, or you?
No, I'm good.
I was gonna leave that one out.
Guys,
there?
I'm actually gonna bring it to Lambeau when we're there for the draft show.
He just said. You guys are going to the draft?
Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't get my tickets. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got other things involved.
Anyways, so we have Drake May needs to be surrounded by talent regardless of culture. Marcelo Mayer has been slept upon, and the tush push should be pushed out the door, courtesy of the Green Bay Packers. All right, Ted, you requested a moment on this topic, so I'm going to hand it back to you on the Drake May surrounded by talent conversation that was brought up by Andy. What was your response to that?
All right, so here's how I'm thinking this is going. Everybody's talking about the diva wide receivers, that they don't want diva wide receivers because it might hurt the development of the young quarterback in Drake May. You know, they You know, they're worried about him, you know, maybe Joe Milton, right? Perhaps. You mentioned Joe Milton. Maybe his presence is, and I don't know, too much, you know, I have a feeling on that. I think there might be some truth to that. But when it comes to the Diva wide receivers, what they're doing is they're not telling you the real truth, which is I don't think Josh McDaniels likes to work with Diva receivers. Josh McDaniels, who is all about his scheme, and his plays are, he thinks very much like Kyle Shanahan does, where if I draw this play up, it should be executed correctly. It's not my fault that the play doesn't work. It's the player's fault. That mentality, I think Josh McDaniels has, and I think he doesn't like working with big-name diva wide receivers. It's not as much they're trying to protect Drake May. It's more about what Josh McDaniels is comfortable working with. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Josh McDaniels, wow.
Yeah.
Because the word at the combine was the Pats were out on Diggs and had no interest. So why 3 weeks later would that change and they would have him in for a visit? Unless either A, there's desperation.
They're hearing all of us.
There's desperation.
I think just money. They're like, wow, we're really far into this. How cheap can we get him for?
You can get him really cheap.
Come on, why are we still playing really the cheap. How much is this guy going to cost game? Freaking, just rename it the Bargain 19 Center. I'm building 19 Center. Rename it the Bargain Center. Rename it Ocean State Job Stadium. Like, enough.
One point about this that I think is very, very important is, do you guys want a guy that's not going to play for your team until the end of November? Do you want to bring in a guy?
How do we know? Because I was looking at this. Do you know Wes Welker tore his ACL in January 2010, I believe it was January 2nd, in Texas against the Houston Texans, obviously missed the ass whooping that they got from the Baltimore Ravens. Guess who was in the starting lineup in September?
Shell of Wes Welker. He was terrible. He talked a lot about it.
He was not great.
It was the only year he didn't catch 100 balls. He was down significantly.
Yeah.
He talked, I think, by November, he said, I'm starting to feel like I can actually run routes the way I'm supposed to.
So he got out there
That was January.
He pulled an Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can get out there, but I'm not really ready.
But don't forget, that was January.
No, I know.
With of course, my number one Boston sports villain of all time, Bernard Pollard, in coverage. He is.
I know, but he didn't touch him.
Doesn't matter. He was there. But also, now this was a non-contact injury for Diggs October 27th. I know Kendrick Bourne now looks a measure or step faster than before because it does take time, and Bourne is now 17 months into his rehab. Yeah. I hear it takes time. Ted, you're the professional athlete. I'm just the bozo with the mic. But
I don't like the fact that he's not going to be there in August, September, October. Like, very important. I just can't imagine him being back at the start of the season. There are examples. Hell, Adrian Peterson came back and looked phenomenal, but the odds would say that it's a year-long injury.
It's 9 times out of 10 or 99 out of 100, they can get out there. And I agree with you, but the problem is you've reached desperation point.
Okay.
Like, all the other guys are gone. Yeah. Now you're sifting through the damaged goods.
If you sign him, fine. That doesn't. You keep looking for a receiver.
Absolutely. You draft one.
I would consider him like a third or fourth at best.
How about this?
With an injury.
You sign Stephon Diggs. Everybody loves the idea of trading for Jacoby Myers, and you draft a second-round receiver. You bring in 3 receivers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think Jacoby's on the market.
But Curran keeps saying it. Yes.
Okay.
We'll ask him again.
We have 15 minutes until we talk to NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran about just these very matters. And I want to know why they would have the about face on bringing in Steph Diggs. If anyone's going to have an idea, it best be Curran.
So, Ted, just to push back a little bit on your McDaniels theory, which I don't hate, because coaches evolve and change. Yeah. And so he obviously had Randy Moss.
Yeah.
And when he went to Vegas, the first thing he did was get Davante Adams. Now, maybe that soured him. Maybe he's like, that was a bad move. Maybe that was the beginning of the end. Because they gave up a first and a third, maybe, and then gave him a boatload of money. I forgot exactly the deal. That would be my pushback. Is this a new evolution of his hesitance to have a diva receiver?
Right. No, the Davante Adams is unique in the sense because he did trade for Davante Adams, so that you could say that theoretically, Ted, that does, you know, that's a diva receiver. And I would say not really. In Green Bay, he wasn't a diva. Josh knew that Davante loved playing with Derek Carr, his former collegiate teammate. So that, to me, is a unique kind of situation. Other than that, I just think I think Josh thinks very similarly to how Bill Belichick thinks about the wide receiver position.
Anyone in there?
He doesn't. Right. It's about the scheme. It's about the system. It's not about the players. It's about the plays we come up with is more important than the talent.
I don't like that theory.
That's my thing.
You know what?
How many times have you heard them say he's not a good fit for Josh McDaniels' offense?
Yeah, I don't get
it. I just heard it about Debo Samuel.
So they're making it sound like Drake can't handle it. I don't think Josh McDaniels probably wants to coach guys he likes, very similar to his buddy Bill. And so he doesn't want to bring in these Debo guys.
I love the
tone. Oh, boy. I like sarcastic Ted is fun.
The best Ted. And he's coming in hot today. I love it. I don't know where we're going in the next 3 hours, but it's going to be fun.
So I see what happens. Good speech, good vibes comes in, clear of mind, and then you can really speak your piece. Good.
You left one thing out.
What's that?
Good speech, good vibes. Good buffet.
Good buffet.
Ted comes in hot.
Yeah, they shelled the shrimp for him. He didn't even have to fight through the claws or the poop vein.
But you guys were willing to think that maybe is an option.
I get it, but he did bring in some, he did have Devontae Adams in Vegas.
Because Derek Carr was a quarterback. Yep. Yep.
And they were best buddies. Yep. How'd that work out?
Yep. Well, it didn't actually end well. And my other thing is about diva receivers is most of them aren't divas. If you're throwing them the ball and scoring points and having some success, right? Like, even in Vegas, the first year, Devontae Adams was awesome. The second year, we got all those clips about, I'm going to die if I stay in this place. I got to get out of this effing place as he throws his helmet.
That's because Garoppolo threw him hospital ball after hospital ball.
But that's my point. Again, if you have faith in Drake May, is he good? Is Drake May good?
Oh, he's special.
Okay, so if Drake May is special, I assume when a diva receiver comes in, he's going to be like, that guy's good. I'm going to get him the ball, right? Isn't that simple logic?
Yeah, but what if he's not getting enough targets and then he tells all the other guys, we're running the ball too
much? Why won't he get targets? If I'm Drake May and I'm looking at Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and then DK, I'm throwing to DK.
How easy would it be to be the best receiver in that room?
Thank you.
There's a great example of this already with Stephon Diggs that should kind of maybe caution you to this take, because Stephon Diggs was a wide receiver in Buffalo with a very young quarterback.
Yep.
How did that work out?
Great. 1,500 yards and 120 catches. Led the NFL in both.
Why'd they let him go? Why did Stephon?
Because on the back end, he became a dink when he wanted a new contract and
so
more money.
He became a dink. He's because he's a diva.
After a couple years.
The first year, he was an all-pro first team. Second year, Pro Bowl. Third year, all-pro second team. Then the contract's running out. Want new contract. Become a dink. Get rid of him before he's... It's the Randy Moss thing. Mm-hmm. Worked out. And then when he started to be the Pied Piper in the locker room, Bill's like, I can't have this anymore. He wants a new deal.
Holy
Get the hell out.
Guys, look at this. In Buffalo, his targets, he averaged. You ready for this? He averaged last year at 64 targets, guys, in those 8 games. In those 4 years in Buffalo, his average target, 161 a year.
I know. That's why he wasn't a dink for most of it.
Holy mackerel.
But he was for longer than he should have been. I do think he's a problem. But a good quarterback utilizes him as long as he can.
Potential problem, Andy. You've invited people over your house before that eat too much and drink too much.
Injury stuff. If he's not available till early November and the end of November,
but nobody is. Brandon Ayuk isn't either. You've reached the point where you let the ones that are available go to other places. DK went to a different place, like these other options.
Yeah.
Debo went to another place. The options that were available, Cup.
Cup is going to be all of those guys that he just listed, Ted, will be ready at the start of the season.
Four different teams.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. So allow me to then take it one step further. Would you rather trade for Ayuk, knowing full well that he's not going to be ready till at least the middle of the season, or would you rather sign Diggs?
I'd probably go with Ayuk. He's
4 years younger.
With the $22 million down payment on April 1st.
Yeah, I don't care about the money. That's not my money, and they have plenty of it. So the money is no big deal. It's not even a factor.
I'd sign Diggs. I know that sounds crazy coming out of
I'd go
my
back
mouth.
In the time machine and get DK Metcalf. the one who is healthy, wants to be a number one, didn't want to be here, but... I don't know. Ended
Could have
up
been
in
talked into it.
Reports are Diggs is here in town right now. Doing
last night and today. Yeah.
So I'm hoping before the end of the day we have an answer, a resolution on this thing.
We could.
I don't think he signed.
Are they cheap or are they hypocrites? That's one of the two options.
I think, Andy, the belief from the people that we mentioned earlier and those on the beat is that he's coming in to start his market.
And then they're being used and they're dumber than I thought they were, because that's a bad job by them, because it undercuts the narrative of the offseason that they had already put in place with a lot of hard work starting at the combine.
Who's dumber, the Patriots or the beat guys?
That's a fair debate to be had on a future three-point stance.
Oh, do not.
617-779-7937. That was a passionate three-point stance where we really only got to debate the second time around on one of them. We may revisit a couple of those points later. Certainly the tush push.
No, I'm right. We don't need to discuss it anymore.
No, you're not. And there's other rules changes. And just because you're taking a victory lap, they haven't gotten rid of it yet, and they often don't unless the competition committee jumpstarts that initiative.
What part don't you get, the buh or the bye?
Bye-bye.
I think it's here to stay. You can't do that to the Super Bowl champs. We'll get to that later here on WEEI Afternoons, because up next, Fitzy talked about it. We're going to get the down low and the dirty from Tom Curran about everything that's going on with the Patriots. Most importantly, Stephon Diggs. Why is he here visiting? Could he be here playing come the fall? Tom Curran up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending.